This is Wade Rathke. It's Friday. It's 9 o'clock. That means it's Wade's World on KABF FM 88.3 on your radio dial. We're at www.kabf.org. Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we've got two guests with our new equipment. We're going to be doing things that are wild and different. We're excited to have Sandy Rusher, the organizing director for the Communication Workers of America, a significant national union in the United States with, well, we'll find out how many members it has from Sandy. We also have Steve Lange, an American Airlines worker from Dallas, who's now working out of Dallas-Fort Worth. What we're going to be talking to Steve and Sandy about is a whole bunch of interesting things, but the organizing drive that CWA has been involved in for the last, Sandy, what is it, 20 years?
Almost, 17.
But who's counting, huh?
Yeah.
And Steve, you've been involved in this organizing drive for a good long while, too, haven't you?
Since I was brought into American Airlines as a result of a merger from TWA back in 2001, I've been pretty vocal and very much active in the last 5 years, pretty much.
Well, that's a dozen years, so that counts for a good deal. Now, in the labor movement, we are very excited about our precious organizing drives, particularly as victory looms in, but we also applaud the persistence of organizations like CWA and the work it's done. Sandy, you and I have talked about this before. You did a great article with me in Social Policy Magazine that looked at some of this history, and the timeline went several pages. Give us a brief history of what it's been like for CWA to work with this great group of workers.
Well, about 17 years ago, we got a petition signed by about 300 American Airlines passenger service agents, people who work both at airports, ticket and gates, and reservation offices, asking us to help them have a union at American Airlines. They were the only group of people that didn't have a union at the airlines, and we've been working with them ever since to have that. They had an election in 1998 that we came very close and lost, and another election that took us over a year to get to because of American Airlines trying to block it. And that was in January of this year, that 9,000 people lost by just 150 votes, came so close. So they will get another opportunity to vote now that the merger is happening.
Steve, what does a passenger service worker do?
Well, basically, we are the face of the airline on the ground. We check in customers, check their baggage, and process boarding passes, and then we board the flights at the gate. But there's a whole lot more to it. We have to be aware of a lot of things, you know, safety regulations, and but anyway, we are the face of the airline. We come face to face with the customers. There are those who are on the phones as well. They're the face of the airlines on the phones for reservations.
So when my plane's late in Dallas, I'm looking at you.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that happens very often, but
maybe you're yelling at me too. I don't know.
No, that's not me. No matter what you've heard, that's not me.
I
know how to call that special 800 number for the frequent flyers, so I yell at them.
Okay.
So, Sandy, it's a complicated business representing airline workers because they're transportation workers. There are different rules that apply to them than to a number of other workers. So they're not under the National Labor Relations Board at all, are they?
No, they're under the National Mediation Board, which is governed by the Railway Labor Act, the RLA. So it is very different. Organizing is different. It has to be a nationwide unit of everyone in that same class and craft. So this group runs from Seattle to San Juan.
Well, that's a good piece of space there. And you said the election last January was almost 9,000 workers. So people are organizing now. How big is this going to be?
This is going to be about 15,000 workers because now it will include the customer service people who work at U.S. Airways as well.
And that's is that Pittsburgh still the big hub there, or Charlotte, or what? Where is U.S. Air now?
Charlotte is big. Pittsburgh has been significantly downsized. So U.S. Air, Charlotte, Philadelphia, and Phoenix, because they merged with America West in 2005. So now Phoenix is a big location too.
Now, does CWA already represent workers at U.S. Air?
We do. That election we held in 1995. They've actually been through three elections, also a complicated history, but we have represented them since 1997, and they have a contract and are represented. So they are reaching out to the American people, too, telling them what a difference it's made for them.
So what this election is, this must have to do with the merger of U.S. Air and American, so it'll be your old unit plus the workers like Steve have been trying to organize. Everybody will get a vote to decide if they still have representation or want it or not, or is that what's going on?
That's right. So about 6,500 people at U.S. Airways customer service that will be voting and have enjoyed representation since the late 90s and the 9,000 American employees will be voting together.
We don't have that many elections with 15,000 workers in the labor movement anymore, do we?
No, we don't. So it's a very big deal, and it really provides an opportunity. The American agents, Steve can talk about that, are very excited that they feel like this is their best chance ever of finally getting the representation they've been trying to have.
Well, Steve, the other thing I'd like you to throw in here is I know from talking to Sandy early, she doesn't exactly have a team of 100 organizers on this campaign. It's you and a lot of your fellow organizing committee members who are passenger service workers at American that are carrying a lot of the weight here, aren't you?
Well, it has been an effort. I mean, we network pretty well locally, and at each of the stations in the system, there are activists, and it's our job to generate interest and explain to our colleagues how important it is that we become part of CWA. It's essential, especially going into a merger, that we get on the same page with the U.S. Air workers. We want to make sure we're all treated fairly, seniority, pay, benefits, everything. And the only way to do that, in my mind, is with an organized union effort. I've seen over the years at American Airlines where, you know, when times are good, the airline will give you, you know, things and to keep you from organizing, basically, but also they want to make sure that the workforce is happy. But then when times get bad, they'll start taking things away. But they do this in a very random fashion. So the fact that the union is able to negotiate these things and keep them in place and then negotiate if there are concessions to be made is very important.
Well, you've had the experience, or I think you've had the experience, you tell us, Steve, of having been in a union in the airline industry. Did it make a difference when you were in the union previously?
Definitely. I started with Ozark Airlines in 1978 in Chicago, and we were a part of IAM, and I could see continuity in my job and things I could plan on. And then when Ozark was merged into TWA in 1986, our work group was non-union. Later on in that in the TWA sector of my career, we organized and voted in a union shortly thereafter is when American absorbed TWA.
So you know what the various times have looked like, so you can speak with some confidence about your hopes for the future, huh?
Well, yeah, and the airline industry has changed dramatically over 35 years of my being in there. I was basically brought into the industry at the onset of deregulation. Fares were governed, routes were governed. The Civil Aeronautics Board told the airlines who petitioned for fare increases and routes, everything. And when they needed to make a little more money, they said, can we raise fares? Well, then deregulation changed all that. Airlines could go wherever they wanted to. They could raise and lower fares at will. So that had a dynamic effect on, you know, the security of the jobs because cost cutting was a major factor after that.
Sandy and Steve, y'all mentioned that a lot of the work now is done on the phone. What's the difference for the situation? And now the counter people, all of us know, we see them across the counter, obviously, but if you make a reservation on the phone, you're dealing with, I assume, somebody in a call center. How does that all work?
Well, they're not in a call center anymore. At American Airlines, now, increasingly, they will be at their homes in front of a computer. With the technology that they have, people are now home-based reservation agents. So American does still have two call centers, one in Dallas and one in Raleigh, North Carolina. But increasingly, they're at a virtual call center in a location that's about 75 miles from the technology they need to be able to call in. So there are small satellite offices all over the country where the reservations are being made now.
That's kind of a weird experience, I imagine, for a worker, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, some people really like that environment. They are at home, they're around their families, but they have to have an environment that they can work in. It is sort of strange that there's no community of work anymore. You don't see your coworkers, you don't relate to your coworkers in the same way. And the big issue is that there's a significant difference in wages and benefits. The benefits for people who are home-based at American are very, very different. Only this week, after the merger went through, did they get a few days that were like paid sick days. They've not had any of those before.
You were just supposed to put your head down on your kitchen table while you were doing the call, huh?
Yeah, I guess they think if you're home-based, you don't have to,
You're home already.
Yeah, that's right.
It just seems so isolating that as an organizing problem for you and Steve and the rest of the committee members, that must be quite the task, finding all these people at home now, huh?
It is quite the task. And since our election last year, they've hired, our election in January, about another 1,000 have been hired around the country. There's very high turnover in that job. It's relatively low pay, again, low benefits. So, and it's a tough job.
Now, is U.S. Air structured in much the same way? Do they have home-based call people?
They don't. We have bargained for that in anticipation that they might want to set up a program because we saw the handwriting on the wall. So they've bargained for a position that's somewhat lower pay, but at U.S. Airways, it would have the same benefits. The company would pay for the equipment, the internet line that you need, the phone line that you need at American, all of that. The employee pays for everything themselves.
Pays for their own internet?
Yes.
That's crazy, and I can tell you, dealing with Times Warner in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's a miserable service, too. So that's hard if they're having to bring their own tools in that sense, isn't it?
Yes. And expensive.
Well, absolutely. That's been a big campaign for our union, is trying to get this digital divide lower, especially for lower-wage service workers. I'm lucky enough today to be talking to Sandy Rusher, who's the organizing director for the Communication Workers of America, and Steve Lange, who's a longtime airline service worker in the passengers area, and he's in Dallas-Fort Worth. And what we're talking about is a couple of things, but a lot of it has to do with the merger of American Airlines and U.S. Air and what that means for the workers, including the fact that there's a new organizing drive underway. So are we really in a new organizing drive at this point, or are we just still looking to see what's going to happen in this 17-year history of the union's relationship with this workforce?
Steve, you want to talk about what we're doing now?
Oh, well, we've been in a card-signing campaign over the last 3 months or so at American Airlines. And basically, it's been unique in with respect to the fact that the Department of Justice challenged challenged the merger, and we didn't know at first how to take this card signing campaign. We thought we want to have a union, no doubt, but we didn't know how to approach it. So we decided to put out a two-part card. That one side saying, if the merger goes forward, we want to be represented. And if the merger is blocked, we want to be represented. So we had people sign basically the same information on a two-part card. So that's been our effort over the last 3 months or so.
And what's the response been, Steve, if I could ask?
Very good locally. There's been some challenges, but I think we've convinced a lot of people that this is the only way to go when you're going into a union. You have to establish continuity. You have to be able to get on the same page with the other airline that's joining you, and they're already CWA, so let's do it. And I've been getting a lot of personal, positive response personally.
So
it's been good.
Is there a time when you hope to file for this election, or how does it work, you guys?
Yeah, I think it will be sometime in the spring. We'll be filing for the election. What happens under the Railway Labor Act is the National Mediation Board has to determine that there's a single transportation system, and there's a number of indices, including uniforms and signage and, selling each other's tickets on that sort of thing. And so we think that will happen. We will trigger that sometime in the spring.
Well, it sounds exciting. Now, the merger, and you just mentioned this, Steve, the Justice Department jumped in, and if you read the business press and everything else, a lot of people were surprised that they challenged the merger originally on the basis of antitrust concerns, because in some ways these airlines have been merging so much recently, people almost forgot there was an issue. But how did y'all respond to all this? How did you see the antitrust issue?
Well, the market really is dominated by, two mega carriers that the Justice Department allowed to go through. The United merged with Continental, and Delta merged with Northwest Airlines over the last 4 years. And I think it caught everybody by surprise, including American and U.S. Airways, that the Justice Department would just outright oppose this rather than try to figure out how to settle it. And ultimately, they did try to settle it. But in this case, the unions involved, we represent the flight attendants and passenger service at U.S. Airways. There are many other unions involved between the two carriers. And the unions really jumped in and worked with the company to support this merger because we felt like it was the best thing for airline passengers and for workers and the communities where these airlines are large. So we think that the union's support and the workers being involved had a big effect on the outcome.
You know, sometimes this surprises people. There was a picture in the paper the other day of Leo Girard, the president of the steelworkers, giving a plaque to a couple of people with Carlyle, the big equity fund, for helping save 1,000 jobs at a Sunoco refinery in Philly. And it was as if this was, the first time this tree was ever seen in the forest. But it's really not uncommon when it has to do with job protection. We may not always be on the same page, as Steve was saying, but when it's a fight for people's jobs, sometimes we do have some strange bedfellows, don't we?
Yes, we do. We were on the same side with the Chamber of Commerce in some places on this one.
Yeah, we're not exactly invited afterwards for drinks, but sometimes we're there when the main meal is there. So I know this was surprising, and for consumers, look, the truth is the seats are going to get smaller, the price is going to get expensive. Why not have fairness for the workers? So in this sense, it was a good thing. But I know there was some sort of a settlement the Justice Department, maybe factual, maybe face-saving, they announced on the antitrust things. Did it make any difference in terms of the issues you all were looking at for the union?
It hasn't completely, we don't know exactly what the effect of the workers will be. The biggest impact will be at DCA, National Airport in Washington, D.C., where they will be giving up a number of slots, and it is protected air here in Washington, D.C., of course. So that will be the biggest impact, but we're not sure of the specific impact yet. And the company has said that none of the mainline employees' jobs will be affected. We don't know what that means for the regionals. U.S. Air and American together have American Eagle and Piedmont and PSA, and then they contract with a number of regionals, Republic and Air Wisconsin here in Washington. So we're not exactly sure what that means in terms of jobs. We also represent the what's U.S. Airways Express, Piedmont Ground Service employees in this merger. So there's a lot of moving parts to this.
Well, and as Steve says, perhaps the whole uncertainty of it all is why people desperately need a union, need one now. I've got to get you all to tell a story, though. When you talk about this whole 17-year campaign, and I know this is one of the things that was emphasized in the peace and social policy, there was quite a heroic effort by the workers themselves to create, even after setbacks with the companies, sort of create an organization and keep it alive for a long time. Who can Sandy or Steve, how can you tell us how that worked? How did they operate effectively without the union, but being the union? That's a complicated thing for a lot of people to understand.
Well, I'll start. I'm having with the technology, I can't hear when Steve talks. I don't want to duplicate what he says. But after the TWA group, which Steve was part of, merged with American in 2001, we started another organizing campaign, a more traditional organizing campaign, and then 9/11 happened, and it just wasn't the right time to go forward with an election in the industry. People were being laid off, and there were huge cuts, and it was very traumatic. And so the group got together and decided to build just a membership organization, a non-majority membership organization that could deal with some of the issues that were going on in the industry. And in fact, they were part of helping to get legislation passed. There's now federal legislation on passenger rage for people who behave poorly in the airports. There's now federal legislation regarding what the airlines can do with those kind of people. So those sorts of issues people were part of being involved with, and so they started paying dues, and hundreds of people joined an association called the Association of Passenger Service Agents.
And they were able to win some issues, because I know I've talked with your help to some of the workers in the past.
Yeah, Steve, do you want to talk to that? And I'm sorry that I can't hear what you're saying.
Well, you know, having come into American Airlines in 2001, I really wasn't on board for the whole 17 years. So it's really difficult for me to comment specifically on this because the history of it is somewhat vague to me. So I might let you talk more in detail about it as well, Sandy. I'm not trying to brush it off. I just don't know as much about that, the whole history as you do.
Well, certainly I think it's important just because there's so many false impressions of how unions work and how organizing drives work. But the truth is when workers decide they're going to keep something going, it's important to them. We have tools and strategies to allow that to happen. And this sort of non-majority representation of workers saying, hey, you know, no matter what federal mediation says of the company, we have a union because we're a union. We have a union because we pay dues, because we elect our stewards, and they find that they can win things. And I think that's what Sandy, you and others have told me happened during that period on a number of issues.
That's right, including grievances that people filed when they lost their job, and up to changing the rules under the Railway Labor Act that we lobbied. The way it used to be was that you had, when you voted, anyone who voted, who didn't vote, was counted as a no vote. So you had to get the majority of the eligible voters to vote yes, and all the other people who just didn't care, didn't show up, were away, moved and didn't get their voting instructions in the mail, they were counted as no votes. So that was changed in 2010 with this group lobbying on that issue.
Well, and you've had experience in this. I know the Texas State Employees Union, which was an affiliate of CWA, was a non-majority union for years and years, collected dues through bank drafts. Did that help inform this kind of strategy at all?
It did. And actually, we had when the leadership group at American Airlines were getting together in 2002 to decide, you know, what their next step was, we had somebody from TSEU, the State Workers Union, come talk about what they were building and what it meant to them and the kind of changes they'd been able to make by having an organization, a membership organization, and people were, you know, fascinated by it. And as you know, this group at American Airlines, about a third of them are in Texas.
Well, it's a great place to be, but collective bargaining is not necessarily what the state of Texas makes as its primary responsibility. So it's good to have that experience, and I think it must have helped keep this unit strong.
In fact, collective bargaining for state workers in Texas is illegal.
Yes, I know. But we still have a strong union,
yes,
CWA and TSEU. So there's many victories there to point to. Sandy, people probably are a little bit surprised. We talk about Communication Workers of America. A lot of people just think telephone workers. But we're talking about state employees in Texas. I know in New Jersey we're talking about airline transportation workers. Is that usual for CWA, or how does that all fit together?
It is. We have a large number of people. For example, in the airline industry, we had the flight attendants union that affiliated with us. So we have about 60,000 people in the airline industry. The newspaper guild affiliated with us, and so we have people from, you know, reporters to the folks who take your classified ads in the newspaper. We have the IUE, which is in a manufacturing sector of CWA. That affiliated. So we have quite a diverse group of people who are part of our union.
We're talking to Sandy Rusher, the organizing director of CWA, and Steve Lange, who's one of the organizing committee members helping put together the card signing campaign and hopefully getting ready for an election in American Airlines. We're on KBF, www.kbf.org, at 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power. Sandy, if we have some airline workers, American airline workers or others that are listening to the show today or hear it later on a podcast, how do they get in touch with the committee or with you or with the union?
They can call us at 817-868-9933. That's the Dallas office. We have a website, american-agents.org, that they can visit. There's Facebook and all other, or they can call Steve Lange, who's on the phone.
That's right. And we'll do Steve a favor of not telling his phone number over the air. But 817 is a Fort Worth area code. But is your office right there in the Metroplex between Dallas and Fort Worth?
It is right there by, it's about a mile outside of DFW Airport, also a mile from the large reservation office, the Southern Reservation Office of American Airlines, and right by their corporate headquarters.
Well, how appropriate. We've got a lot of problems in the labor movement, but how would this organizing drive, if successful, help in the rebuilding of our strength?
Steve, do you want to talk about what it would mean for you all to have a union? I think that would be good to take us out on this.
Yeah, it would unify our workforce. I mean, I know that we're a lot of individuals, but when we have a common goal, the best way to approach that is with our drive and our effort to unite, and CWA representation would definitely put us on the right path going into this merger. And this will get done. As I told Sandy last time after we had the election that we lost by 150 votes, I said, this just redoubles our effort, puts us on a path to commitment to get the job done.
A commitment to get the job done. That is a good way to end this. And we probably could have said something like, we shall return, because for 17 years, CWA has been a dog on a bone trying to make sure there was representation for American Airlines passenger service workers. We've been lucky today to have as guests Sandy Rusher, the organizing director of CWA, and Steve Lange, one of the organizing committee members who's located in Dallas. We got to try our new equipment and have calls from both D.C. and Dallas. We've got some kinks, but this worked pretty well. You're on KBF, 88.3 FM, 100,000 watts of people power. And this has been Wade's World. Every Friday, 9 to 9:30, we talk to the most interesting people in the world. Today at 2 o'clock, if you're still around on our community news, we have a special with a report on the budget agreement. Thanks to our guest, and we'll see you next week. Wade's World.